I guess that was a hint not to use the podium this morning. It's okay, I'll do it. Whatever you say. No, it's okay, don't worry about it. Oh, wow. What a beautiful Sabbath day. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's a beautiful Sabbath. Do that, just tell them that, okay? Yes, yes. For more than one reason. Not only is it the day that God has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, but it's a beautiful day in San Diego too. You cannot beat it, folks. You have no idea how nice it is down here. You're spoiled. I only drive a little ways north and it gets pretty uncomfortable up there, but it is beautiful. It's great to be in the midst of God's family here at Point Loma. You know, this week I spent a lot of time in the secret place. Started off the week with a heart very burdened and very heavy regarding one of my children who I've been praying for quite some time to find a job. And it was during one of my times where I always begin my time with God proclaiming that Jesus is my Savior, you know, over and over, claiming the blood of Jesus, asking forgiveness for my sins and my trespasses, pronouncing Him Lord of my life, turning my life over, submitting my stubborn will to Him. Over. I have to do that every day. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Sorry about that, but that's just, I have to do it every day. Got to die. The old will has to die every single day. I have to pronounce Him as my Lord and as my Savior. And then listening carefully to what the Spirit has to say. As I was praying for my son and claiming God's promises, something, the Holy Spirit said, you don't have to say something said. That's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? The Holy Spirit said to me, this is how the Father feels about you. That's how He feels about me. His heart is so burdened and so heavy as He watches His children wander and stray like sheep that are scattered on a hillside, wandering after this and that and other things, falling over cliffs. And His heart is so burdened as our Heavenly Father that I know He weeps. I know He weeps for us individually. Because I weep for my children. And I know God weeps for us individually. And some of you that think, you know, God's, you know, just absolutely got to fit this mold of big macho man that never cries. Well, that's a lot of baloney. God does weep. He does cry. He weeps for us. He cries for us. His heart is burdened for us to come to Him, to seek Him, to know Him, to receive His blessings, to allow Him to comfort us. And as I was praying for my son in my quiet place, my secret place, honestly, folks, I really did feel the wings of God's angels. It's hard for me to describe to you unless you felt it too, which I hope you have. I hope you have. And if you haven't, please go to that place. Wherever it is, in your office, in your home, in your living room, in your car, don't worry, God can fly fast enough to keep up with you. There is a place of quiet, a place where the midst of absolute chaos and absolute craziness of this world, even in the midst of that, there is a quiet place, a place where God is present, waiting to hear, listening to our petitions, our cries for help. And He is there willing, more than willing, to pour out blessings, to comfort our hearts. You know, I find that's really the message in Psalms 91. As you know, we have been studying Psalms 91. And last week, we began with verse 1 of Psalms 91. And I found that in this very first few verses, we find a wonderful description of God's character. You ever wondered what God's character is? Well, the Bible's full of descriptions of God defining who He is, letting us know who He is. He who dwells in the shelter, there it is, there's that quiet place, there's that place, that sanctuary of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You know, I was thinking about that this week. I know that as the bullets flew there in Dallas, Texas, there were people, born again, God-fearing Christians, who called upon the Lord in a time of fear, a time of danger. And He was their shelter. He was their fortress. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You know, when I read this part here, it says, He will cover you with His feathers. I was reminded of a story. I'm not sure where it came from. It probably was Uncle Arthur's books as a kid growing up. A story about a farm in the Midwest many, many years ago. And there was this terrible fire that swept through that farm. And it swept and burned the barn down. And as the farmer was out picking up the pieces of his farm, trying to clean things up, he saw there in the middle of the chicken coop a hen, and she was dead. Obviously, she had been burned. Her feathers were all burned, and he went over to pick her up. And underneath, he found baby chicks still alive, still alive. When I read this, I thought to myself, wow, that's it, that's it. God was willing to die so that you and I could live. He's like, He even called Him, Jesus Himself, when He stood and over on the hill overlooking Jerusalem, and He wept. There you go. Jesus weeps too, guys. God weeps. Jesus wept. He wept over Israel because He saw from the beginning to the end how Israel, how God had watched over and cared for Israel, and yet Israel had strayed away so many times and gone astray. And God kept calling her back. And Jesus, as He prophesied that day, as He overlooked Israel, He said, "Oh Israel, Israel, if only I would have gathered you to me as a mother hen gathers her baby chicks to her." I took that passage of Jesus proclaiming that He was like a mother hen. Oh, God has feminine attributes. Oh yes, a mother hen, if you want to say that. Yes. He cares so much. He wanted to gather Israel. He wants to gather those who go astray, those who are wandering through life aimlessly. He wants to gather you under His wings. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of the old hymn, and I can't even remember all the songs, but way back in my distant memory, a song, under His wings, safely abiding. Some of you probably know the rest of the old hymn. Under the wings of God, there is shelter, there is safety. Now, you know, it's unfortunate that some people take this passage of Scripture, and I've even heard a couple sermons on this particular chapter, and they pronounce this, and they demand, by reading this Scripture, you can demand that God protect you and keep you from everything that comes. All the hardship and all the trials and all the pain and all the suffering, God will keep you from all of that. By reading this passage, well, they seem to forget. They need to read the whole thing, okay? Because the fact is, we live in a world of pain and suffering. We live in a world of trouble. Some of you may be suffering right now. You may be going through hardship. You may be losing a family member. There may be, in the near future, the possibility that a family member is going to pass away from illness. And you say, where is God? Why isn't God healing my family member, my relative. This passage is not promising that somehow magically you're going to be able to walk around with some magical wand and make everything wonderful in your life. What it is promising, though, is that when you are going through those hardships, when you are going through loss and suffering and pain, that God is there with you. You're not alone. You're not suffering alone. And if anybody understands suffering, it would be God, don't you think? Especially when you suffer loss. And Jesus himself understands our suffering. He understands the pain that we go through because he himself walked through this life and he suffered and he died. He died a terrible death. And so he understands our suffering. What I find in this passage is a promise that, yes, that God does keep us at times from some of the things that take place in our lives, but most importantly, that God always, always is there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Picking up at verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. I read that and I thought, oh, wait a minute. That's a promise, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like a promise to you? And I got to thinking, I said, Lord, as I read this passage, you're telling me that If I am yours and you are mine and I'm in you, I'm dwelling in you, in your presence, I'm worshiping you, that none of this is going to happen to me. And you could stop right there and you could make a case for that, couldn't you? What's interesting, this really kind of blew me away because I'd never thought about it. I know I'd heard it and I'd looked at it, but it never really registered. But as I was reading this, the next verse, listen to this. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone. Who quoted that? Satan. To Jesus. You want to read it? That's in Matthew. If you look it up, it's in Matthew 4, 5. When Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, Satan takes him to a high place and says, he quotes the scripture, cast yourself down. Your angels will bear you up. You won't be harmed. Satan quotes scripture. Wow. There are other cases too, but in this particular case, Jesus knew that his strength, that his courage, that everything that he was dependent on his heavenly Father. He didn't need Satan quoting texts out of context because he knew he had been with his Father. He had spent time in that secret place and he knew that he could depend upon his Father. So, and it goes on, verse 13 says, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And here it is. Why do we go through all these things? Why does all this happen? It's because he loves me. I like that. It's in first person. Because he loves me. Because he loves me. I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledged my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him, and here it is, in trouble. So this is not a guarantee that you won't have trouble in your life. It's going through a list of things that happen to us on a regular basis. Many of the events that could happen to us, we don't even know about. I wonder that all the time when I'm driving down the freeway. And then every so often I'm reminded when I see yellow tarps covering bodies by the side of the freeway, I'm reminded, okay, that it's a dangerous thing. That every week I go through this, it's a dangerous thing. And I always make sure that I'm reminded of God's greatness and His faithfulness, and that He sends His angels. Yes, it says, I will be with Him. And that's the one I underline. I underline that in my Bible because all these other promises are true. It's true. God does protect. God does care. God does love. He does rescue. Over and over again, I can tell you throughout my life, I have seen God's hand working in my life. I have seen God's hand working in the lives of other people. And it's always good to see that. It's always good to sense that. It's good to feel that. But then when trouble hits, that's when the whining begins. Right? Oh, why me, Lord? You can't do that to me. You know, it's okay for so-and-so's mother to pass away with cancer, but you can't do it to my mom. I'm protected. I'm under your wings. Yeah, you are. You are under your wings. You know, we often think that the worst thing that can happen to us on this earth is to pass away, to die. Isn't that what we think? We think that's the worst thing that can happen. And you're saying to me, yeah, Pastor, it is the worst thing. That's it for you, right? No. The worst thing that could happen is for you to die without Jesus in your heart. Because Satan can take us. The world can take us. Suffering, you know, cancer, whatever, can take us. They can take the body, but they cannot take our soul. They cannot take us away from Jesus. We're in Jesus. Nothing can touch us. We're under His wings. We're before the mercy seat. Nothing can touch you, folks. We've got to get a grip on what that means. Okay? Job understood it. What did he say? Even though, and I'm going to put it in contemporary concepts, even though I die, even though I'm killed, I will still hold on in faith to my God. There you go. There you go. And if you believe that, if that is your testimony today, there is not a thing on this earth or in this universe that can separate you from God. Paul goes through the whole list of things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he goes through this whole list. That's kind of what we have here in this passage of Scripture. It's a list of things that we walk through. We walk through the fire here in this earth. We walk through danger. We walk through pain and suffering. We walk through sickness and illness. And yes, even death. But it cannot hold us down. It didn't hold Jesus down, did it? And he knew, because he had spent time in a secret place with his heavenly Father. He knew that the grave could not hold him. When he hung there on that cross, his last words were, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I commend my spirit. I give myself to you because I know that you have promised that I will rise again. Jesus went fearlessly to his death. I pray that none of you are facing death. But we never know, do we? Those five policemen in Dallas, did they know? They ran into danger. They ran towards danger. They confronted the fear. They put their fear aside and they did their job. And they died. I'm comforted with the knowledge that regardless of the circumstances in my life, regardless of what I may be going through personally or what I see going on around me in this world, that I serve a God that is ultimately in control of everything. And at times it may not seem that way. The news doesn't tell us that things are under control. It tells us that things are getting out of control. But we need that secret place to dwell in. Because in that secret place is a God that cares for us. A God who is weeping, who wants so much for us to come home. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to take us away from the fear and the worries and the concerns and the stress and all those things that distract our lives and distract our minds. He wants to spend that time, that moment, that secret place where we can come in personal contact with our Heavenly Father. Have things changed because I spent that time in the secret place this week? More than once. First part of the week it was for my son. The last part of the week was just praying for the leadership of this nation, for our policemen, for people's lives that have been broken because of death. My heart was heavy. I wept. Was my life changed? Did the events change? No. The world is still confused. There's still hardship. There's still pain and suffering. But I can tell you in my heart personally, I have peace. I have peace because I know that there's a God who cares for me personally. He cares for you personally. And He sealed that. He sealed that in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't undo it. That's a promise you can't ever take back. God is a God who cares for each of us individually. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to hear us speak to Him. He wants to hear us weep. Yes, at times overcome maybe with grief. I wanted to sing this song, if the team would be willing to do it again. One of the songs, Power of Your Love. Can we do that again? So while they're setting up, I just want you to think about it. How much time have you spent in your secret place? How much time did you spend in the dwelling place of the Most High? Some of you are saying, well, but Pastor, it's a scary thing to go into the presence of the Most High. I mean, we should be fearful of that. You know, God's just powerful and we're just, you know, we're just sinful human beings. Well, the Bible also tells us that we can boldly come before the throne of God. And where is the throne of God? It's in the most holy place. At least last time I checked in my Bible. We can boldly come. We can boldly come because Jesus made it possible. We can go in through the veil into the most holy place. We can stand under the shadow of His wings, and we can empty our hearts and lay our burdens on the altar, and we can ask God to come into our lives and to give us peace. Amen? Amen. Let's sing this song and think of the words while you sing.
Changed, renewed.
Cor Ten Boom and her family during World War II put their lives in danger as week by week and month by month they hid Jewish families in their home, a very secret hiding place. They saved many, many lives. She learned some very important lessons during those years. Wrote a number of books, and actually there was a movie made about her. But she said this, and I want to quote this to you. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we want to spend time with you. Forgive us, so many times we're so busy with our lives that we forget that you're there. You're always there, right beside us. Help us to learn to lean upon you more. Help us to relish that time together with you, to gain strength and power for each day to live in this world. Send your angels to watch over and keep us in our daily lives. And ultimately, we want to know you. We want to know you, God. Amen.